Yes, I was intimidated. I feared for my life. I remember my abuser, stepfather, his name is Fred, so I'll refer to him as Fred. I remember us driving down a 30 mile an hour street in the middle of the city, and he was going about 60, 65, and he said, "I'll crash this car and I'll kill us both."
Welcome to the Women Action Takers podcast, where we bring you uplifting, inspirational, and motivational action takers who are making a positive impact on the planet. I'm your hostess, Linda Sunshine West of Living Live. My passion is to help driven women entrepreneurs gain confidence to ask for their worth, clarity to attract clients to them, and focus to get faster results. My motto is be seen, be known. This podcast, as well as everything I do, is born out of that motto. Hey, let's take action now and get on with the show. I have an amazing show for you today. Have you ever felt like maybe you wanted to do the unthinkable, commit suicide? I myself did at age 16. I, air quotes, attempted suicide. And when I say it air quotes is because I really didn't do anything that would have killed me. I was just so frustrated with my life that I felt like it. I felt so much anger and so much pain at that age that I wanted to end it all. And the method that I used was ridiculous, but it's not important. What's important is that in my mind, that's what I wanted. I wanted to end it. So my next guest at age 15 also contemplated suicide. And so we're going to talk today about her story, her journey of how she went from that to what she's doing today. You know, she's an author, she's a motivational speaker, she gets out there and just does so many things to help so many people. And I think a lot of times it's from those tragedies of our lives that gets us moving forward to do something really, really good. So welcome, Sanchez, to the Women Action Takers show. And I'm super excited to have you here today.
Thank you, Linda. Very happy to be here today. Thank you for the invitation to be on your episode here. Thank you.
You're welcome. And you know, I know that you, well, you wrote a book called Unspoken. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Then also you're in the process. This is really cool. She's in the process of writing a documentary about her story, which, you know, if you've ever thought of doing something like that, I highly recommend you just reach out to her and find out like, what is she doing to make it happen? But today we're going to talk about, you know, how you wrote the book, what made you decide to write the book? How did you get through that time at 15? Like you contemplated it. And what changed in your life to make you not actually do the act? So let's just get right into it. Let's go back to 15 years old. You're 15 Yes. years old. Something's going on in your life. People don't just like out of the blue decide they're going to, you know, commit suicide. So what was it that got you to that point of wanting to do that?
Yes, Linda. So I, at 15, had contemplated suicide. I am a child of sexual abuse and child molestation. So from the age of 5 to 15, so I was dealing with some serious issues within family members that were, you know, taking advantage of me. Two different family members. One was an uncle, and the other was my stepfather. And so I was 15, and you know, when you're being abused, sexual intercourse is occurring. And I thought I was pregnant, carrying my stepfather's child. And that was what put me over the edge. And I was not going, I was already getting fed up. I was getting to that breaking point in my life. I was rebelling. It's very promiscuous. I was making decisions that I was not proud of at that age. And then in high school, you know, it's normal, right, for a teenager to be rebelling. You know, they're just teenagers, but really was a cry for help. But I remember that morning very vividly, wrote a letter, and someone at my school found the letter that I wrote that I wanted to kill myself.
Wow. Who was it that found the letter?
You know, I don't know, but they turned it in to the counselor, and the counselors were nuns. Because I went to a private school, private Catholic school. And so they, the guidance counselor, quote unquote, a nun, sister, she found it. And what she did was she called home. Instead of pulling me into the guidance counseling office and having maybe a conversation, maybe a honest and you know, probably uncomfortable conversation, they called home. And my abuser was the one who answered and came, of course, to the rescue. I talk about this in my book, Unspoken, because I wasn't supposed to tell, right? That's kind of why the title is what it is. And he shows up, you know, as quote unquote, trying to be my saving grace. And that's when that day is when I regained my power back, because I just knew that, thank God I wasn't pregnant. I'll just say that, right? Thank God. Whatever occurred that day, by the grace of God, I wasn't. I ended up getting my menstrual cycle a few days later. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's when I regained my power back and said, I'm not going to let this person or anything like this control me. And here I am. Thank God. So.
Wow. Wow. That I just like so many different things are going through my head, questions. So first question. So 5 years old to 15 years old. Do you remember when you were five and it first happened? And if so, like, what were your thoughts going through your head at that time? Or what did they say to you? Like, why didn't you tell somebody at age five?
Right. So I do talk about that. So at age five, it was with my uncle, and the chapter is called Grandma's House. And I talk about how my uncle was, you know, you sit in what I call the infamous TV room with your family member, and you're just watching TV. Slowly but surely, the door starts to close. Slowly but surely, you're sitting on laps. Slowly but surely, you know, every time an engagement occurred, it was a different type of engagement, telling you how pretty you were. I remember very vividly. And those are really, it was very hard to write those memories, but I did it. And then slowly but surely, hands in your private parts, and then be molested. So that was with my uncle. Now, it didn't happen all the time, because it was just only when I was at my grandma's house, or when he was present at grandma's house, is when that would occur. But then I kind of feel, as I got older, you know, you get comfortable with touching and feeling, you think that that's normal. And I really, honestly, if you think about it, I was five. So this was in 1976. I don't remember being at that age, coached or counseled even by parents or family members about private parts. Like they do now, stranger danger, or, you know, these are your parts. Like they do now. I think it's more, more relevant now to do that, but I don't recall that. And so maybe that's why I didn't. No, and I was always taught, like, you know, you respect your elders, you don't talk back, you listen, you be quiet. And, you know, he always told me I'd be okay. It's okay. You know, it's okay. So I thought it was okay. I trusted these people that were my family.
That's just, I'm so sorry you went through that, but I know you've come through, you know, all of this. Here you are, much older today. And I hear you. I was born in 1963, and we didn't talk about that stuff at all. It was literally private. I mean, it was so private that we didn't even talk about it, you know, and so I hear you. And I'm so glad that today they do have like awareness, situations where kids can learn these things, which it's like that fine line, like what age do you introduce this stuff? Well, at age five, if you're getting, you know, molested, and there's a lot of kids that this is happening to right now that are being molested by those that they're supposed to trust. And I think this is where a lot of times, as we grow older, a lot of people do have trust issues. And I believe a lot of it starts when we're that age. You hear these people that you're supposed to be able to trust, you know, an uncle, a stepfather, you know, a stepmother, a mother, a father, you know, like all these people were supposed to be able to trust them. And when they're doing things like this that are not right, don't feel right to us, don't feel good, and then we're not allowed to tell anybody. I mean, I just think it just creates a whole circle of, you know, of badness, you know, bad things that happen to us. So what happened? At what point did you tell somebody? Did you not tell anybody until you wrote that letter? Did you just keep silence? Did they have, because I've heard of times where sometimes they'll say, if you tell anybody, I'll hurt this person. So did any of that happen to you as well?
Yes, I was intimidated. I feared for my life. I remember my abuser, stepfather, his name is Fred, so I'll refer to him as Fred. I remember us driving down a 30 mile an hour street in the middle of the city, and he was going about 60, 65. And he said, I'll crash this car and I'll kill us both. And I was devastated. And we were on the way to go pick up my mother from work, and he was threatening my life. And I was scared. And then I remember him, you know, pinning me up against the wall. I had I used to go to the mall. It was called Regency Mall in Racine. And they used to have police officers kind of roaming the mall. And I had a business card of one of the officers. Just, you know, he would hand out cards. If you guys need anything, you know, we're your friends, officer friendly, and I remember putting it in my pocket. And he found that. And he was furious and he pinned me in the corner. You know, he had found it in my jacket. And what are you doing with this? You know, does he like you? Like it was, it turned into this like, yeah. So I write about all of this in the book and I talk about all these different circumstances that had happened, transpired events that I vividly remember that were just so clear on how, you know, fear was put into my mind. And then also fearful of me telling my mom and what it would do to her, that I'd be stuck with him anyways, if I told her. So, and I didn't want to hurt my mom. I loved my mom to this day. You know, I know she hasn't, I don't think she's read it. I know she knows what I've written about. I know she knows I'm very vocal with my podcast and what my platform's for. But I know it's just, it's a difficult conversation to have, but we've had some silver linings and my dedication really speaks to my love for my mom and how I don't blame her.
Yeah. So here, let's go back to when they found the letter that you had wrote and your stepfather comes to save you from them. And what happened after that? So you're saved, you're picked up. And how did he react? What did he say? Did you ever end up telling your mom at that young age? Or like, I want to hear how all of that transpired.
No, I still did not tell after that. After that occurred, I think he realized that I was pretty, maybe he had some responsibility, because after that is when he kind of left me alone. I ended up getting a job at Six Flags, Great America, which is in Illinois, the border of Illinois and Wisconsin. So then I had a summer job. So I was never home in the summer. And he helped me, he took me to that job fair and I got hired. And so I think he was trying to maybe help me, you know, get away, so to speak. But he did. After that instance, he left me alone. And so I don't know if it scared him, you know, being the fact that, okay, I wasn't going to have a baby, being the fact that I wanted to kill myself. He was a result of those things. Maybe he felt some guilt. I don't know. We never had that conversation. You know, and I never told anybody until I was 8 months pregnant with my daughter, my oldest daughter, and I was dating the father of my children. And I told him because he was about to break up with me. And teenagers break up all the time. But in Candace Sanchez's mind, at the age of, you know, 16, 17, that's the age we were when I got pregnant, I told Randy, the father of my children, and he immediately was like, what are you telling me this for? You know, why'd you lie to me? How could you have me around this man? I mean, and it was like, not what I needed to hear. I needed to hear something else. Well, now I'm still, it's still my fault. I'm still having all the shame. And now you're blaming me for it. And not that I think he had any intentions of doing that, but now you're I'm a kid having a kid. Now I throw this adult situation on a kid, because we were both kids. We were both minors. And it just, that he was the first person I told, and Randy wanted me to speak out. And at that point, I was not ready, Linda. I was not ready to speak in my truth. And that really caused a lot of hurt between Randy and I. It caused a lot of impact on our relationship, a lot of impact on our children. I did not tell my mother until after my second daughter was born and Randy forced my hand. So if you read the book, I kind of talk about that timetable of how even still, and I still love Fred, my own stepfather, around my children. And I have a lot of regret around doing that. But where was I going to go? I had no idea how I was going to make it. Was I going to be homeless? And it was, and I wanted Randy to be my saving grace. I wanted him to say, well, come on, pack up, go live with me, my mom and dad. He wasn't ready really to face even fatherhood, I think, at the time. So it was pretty messy when you think about kids having kids and throwing this big adult situation at two young children. It was really difficult and hard to manage all of that.
Yeah, kind of forced to grow up at a very young age, right? You know, starting at five, actually, because you were going through situations at age five that, you know, a lot of people don't even go through until they're 18, 19, 20. You know, even still today, there are kids who will abstain, you know, until they're married and what have you. Mm-hmm. So, wow, that's just, I'm so sorry all that, you know, for you to have gone through that. But, you know, here you are today, and share with us what you're doing today, because I know you wrote the book. The book is titled Unspoken, and then you also have your podcast, Unspoken Conversations with Candace, and then now you're working on the documentary. Like, how did you get to that point where, you know, you told your mom after your second child was born? You know, how did she react to it, and is she still with Fred?
So no, she's not with Fred, but she reacted. He immediately exited our home. She had him removed from the home. And that was the first step that she took, even though I know it was a difficult step. I know that my mom, you know, she had feelings for Fred, so you can't really negate that. And I also want to say that I've forgiven. But I also want to say I didn't always have bad memories of Fred, right? There was a time in my life where he was a great dad until 11, and that shifted from 11 to 15. So I just wanted to kind of preface that a little bit for the listeners.
You go on, I want to say, mm-hmm. you know, kudos to your mom for believing you, because mm-hmm. a lot of times the wife is in denial and just does not want to believe that any of that ever happened. So kudos to your mom. That is so fantastic. And did she ever say to you, like, why didn't you come to me earlier? Did she ever say anything like that?
No, she didn't. My mom's very non-confrontational. My mom, you know, very private, very reserved. She really didn't have to say much, but I know that she continued a relationship with Fred outside of what was going on, because it was difficult for her she was trying to separate the two, I believe. It took her many years to go through and file for divorce. It took her many years to kind of probably terminate whatever types of communication methods they have. I still, to this day, don't know if they converse or not, or, you know, because I have never formally pressed any type of legal changes. I mean, there's stipulations with that. But again, I feel like I have truly healed from the inside out. I truly feel like there's power in the forgiveness aspect, you know, because I'm perfectly imperfect. There's one day I'll have to answer for any wrongdoings that I've done to others, you know. So, but yeah, I'm proud of my mom. It's taken her a lot to even get to this point. And I'm happy to say she's retired and my mom and I live together. She lives with me in my home. And, you know, our relationship has really bonded. We've had, like I said, silver linings about the past and where we are today. So I'm very blessed to still have my mom, because there's a lot of people that have lost their moms. So I'm blessed that I still have her.
Well, that's great. And then again, before we go to the podcast and the documentary, I would love for you to share, you know, anybody who's going through a situation that you went through during that time, what kind of advice would you give them today? Like, they're, you know, say they're a couple years into it, and, you know, this abuse has been happening, and they just, like, whatever they're feeling, their emotions and whatever their thoughts are going through their head, like, what kind of advice would you give them today?
I mean, I would tell them that they're not alone, you know, that the first of all is like, I believe you, you know, I'm sorry that this happened to you. But you can overcome, as long as you know, like, I stand with survivors. So we're stronger when we stand together. And to reach out, and it's okay to not be okay, right? I mean, it's okay to ask for help. I think we get prideful sometimes, but I think a lot of times when you're abused, you carry around a lot of guilt and shame, and you're afraid of what people are going to say about you, or what they're going to think about you, or, you know, have pity upon you. And I don't want to throw any pity parties. I just want to stand with survivors to say that they're not alone, that they can overcome, and that they don't have to do it by themselves, and that there are tons of other survivors that are willing to stand arm in arm to get you through to the next step.
Are there organizations out there that they could reach out to, of people who are survivors of these types of situations, that, like, if they wanted to just Google something, or they wanted to pick up the phone and call somebody, who would they call? Because going to the family sometimes is not the best place to go, because of a lot of defense. Like, they might defend, like I said, you know, most mothers would deny the fact that their husband was doing that to you, and would, you know, not listen to you, which happens a lot of times, is what I hear. So are there places that they could reach out to, of people who have been there, done that, who understand what they're going through and will believe them?
Right. There's a national organization. I promote a lot of resources on my podcast, which I know we'll talk about in a little bit, but RAINN is the first organization, RAINN.org. I can make sure to send you the phone number so that you can put it maybe in the show notes.
Well, you know, I'm just, congratulations on everything you've done. It's been amazing, you know, hearing your story. And unfortunately, I have not experienced anything like that myself personally, but I feel for you. Like, I could feel the emotions, you know, I can feel, like, I'm an empath. And so I feel those things that you've gone through, not exactly, but I do feel something. And so I want to talk next. We're going to flip it to, you know, the podcast. What made you decide to start a podcast? What made you decide to start a documentary? What made you decide to go down that road, that path?
So I started the podcast as really a spin-off the book. You know, the podcast is called Unspoken Conversations with Candace. Candace, of course, me being your podcast host. But I wanted to invite others. As I started to share my story, I started to understand and realize that even people that I loved, I cared about, people in my network, people at work, at friends, you know, extended family, had gone through the same thing. Or similar stories, whether it was any type of domestic violence, domestic abuse, child abuse, emotional abuse, trauma, just trauma, any taboo topics that people are uncomfortable talking about. So I created the platform just to be able to invite others to the table to have those difficult conversations. I launched my podcast on June 26th. I have 13 episodes out there. And I have a lot of different variety of topics, a lot of great resources in all the different show notes, but a lot of great content. So really to try to help inspire and encourage others to tell their stories and to shine a light that no matter what happens, that you're not alone and that you can get through this.
That's so awesome. Congratulations on that, because I know a lot of people start podcasts and then don't do them. Or they have the idea, right? So congratulations for putting that out there. And like you said, shining the light on the darkness. And this is one thing that's that we can do once we make it through a situation, that we have the power, the ability to do that. So what's next as far as the documentary goes?
So I'm excited. The documentary is really going to be really focused on the book and taking all of my readers through the book in Racine, Wisconsin, my hometown where I grew up, and kind of visiting my high school, visiting the church that I lived in, which is where a lot of the abuse took place. How ironic is that? And just really kind of telling the tale of as a child and now as an adult, revisiting that. And I'm sure I'll get emotional. Every time I read my book, I get emotional. I yesterday got together with some intimate sisters and we had a book reading and, you know, I cried, and it's hard to relive those. But all in all, when we see the outcome, and how far I've come, I'm proud. I'm proud of myself as well. And so, you know, you can overcome and do great things. And I think if you can be an impact, you can save just one person's life, I think you've made a difference.
That is for sure. And that's what I like to say too. Like, if this episode touches one person and we've changed one person's life for the better, then we've done a great job today. So I know that you're an author, you're a life coach, motivational speaker, podcast host, and you're also, you know, creating this documentary. And so what is next for Candace?
Oh, goodness. So like I said, the documentary, I think, is the big thing. I do want to mention I'll have the book on audio version. I'm reading the book myself, as difficult as it was. And I'm also going to have a version in Spanish so I can target the Hispanic community. And because I've noticed that it's in all cultures. It doesn't discriminate, right? Doesn't matter what your background is. And it can happen to boys just as much as it can happen to girls. But I'm also doing a Spanish speaking version. So it's being translated. So those are some of the other things that are next. You know, I hope I can maybe be on Oprah's Book of the Month or possibly even turning, instead of a documentary, having an actual film. I've had people give me feedback. It could be a film. And I'm like, well, where's Tyler Perry? Is he going to knock on my door? So I'm manifesting all that.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Tyler Perry, we're looking for you. We're hunting you down. Yes. This is fantastic. You know, well, congratulations on all the successes you've had so far, because I know that there's many more to come. And so what I would like to ask you, this is the final question I ask every single guest, and that is, what is one action step you would have our audience take today, tomorrow, or next week to uplevel their personal and or professional life? One action step.
One action step. Put it on paper, make a plan, write it down. If I've done anything, that was what I did. I put an action plan from pen to paper, and I worked towards that goal every day.
You heard it. You heard it right here. Write it down, make a plan, put it on paper. So I'm so honored and blessed to have you on the show today. You know, her book is called Unspoken. I was going to say Unthinkable. Unspoken. Her book, Unspoken. You can find that on Amazon. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. Also, you can find her at CandaceSanchez.com. Reach out to her if you have any questions, if you want to have her as a guest on your show as well, or if you want to find out how you can participate in this documentary. I'm sure you're looking for funding. So if there's anybody out there who wants to help to fund, you know, her documentary, please reach out to her. Or if you want to play any part in it, just reach out to her and find out how you can support her, what she's doing to help to change the world, to make this a better place. And so if nothing else, then to give those children a voice and give them the confidence to reach out to somebody who can help them to change their life. Thank you so much, Candace, for being here on the Women Action Takers podcast, and super excited for you of your future and what it holds. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Linda. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Wow, that was an awesome show. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends and family and give us a 5-star review. While you're at it, please subscribe. The Women Action Takers podcast is always looking for amazing women action takers just like you to be interviewed. If you're interested in being on the podcast, see the link in the show notes. See you next time.